Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International. And I just would like to say hello to everyone. I'd like to say hello to Apostle Hunter. God bless you, Apostle Hunter. I tell you, it's a mighty great work that you're doing. And I'm just so grateful to be on your team and to be part of this great network. I'd like to say hello to all those who are listening all around the world. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International in Houston, Texas, 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive. That's Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. If you'd like to get in contact with me, you can get in contact with me at 832-454-5062. My calling is to teach the word of faith. That's my calling, and to teach it with simplicity and understanding. That's my calling, and you know, I tell you, God's word is good. I love God, and I love his people. And Amen. Our Sunday services began at 10:30 a.m. Bible studies on Wednesdays are at 7 p.m. Come by a Sunday and worship with us. Amen. And I'd love to see you in the place.
Amen.
Well, let's get ready to get into the Word. Today the message is what to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened. What to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened. Turn your Bibles with me, please, if you would, to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what God will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved.
Yes.
And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables in our day and time. It'll be upon our tablet, our notebook, or your paper. When you get the vision from God, write it down and make it plain, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time.
Yes.
But at the end it shall speak and not lie.
My God.
Though it tarry, though it seem like it's not going to happen, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. What to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened? That word vision in Hebrew is chazon. Chazon is the Hebrew word for vision. When God gives you a vision, it's God communicating with you. Chazon, that Hebrew word for vision is chazon. And it means a dream, or it means divine revelation. It means a prophetic vision by which divine messages are communicated.
Yes.
When God gives you a vision, that's him communicating to you.
Yes.
It's a divine message. It's a message. It's a spoken message.
Yes.
An oracle. It's a message given. So God is giving you, when he gives you a vision, he's communicating to you what he plans on doing in your life. He's communicating to you. It's prophetic. He's telling you something that's going to take place. It's prophetic. Chazon. Chazon. It's a prophetic message from God. And God says, Now, the message is what to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened. Sometimes when God tells us promises, a lot of times they don't happen right away. They don't happen right away. And we need to know how to respond when they don't happen right away. When we don't see it come to pass immediately.
Yes.
We need to know that, hey, God hasn't forgotten our address.
No.
It's just that he has an appointed time.
An appointed time.
He has an appointed time. That word appointed means, in Hebrew, is moada.
Moada.
That's the Hebrew word for appointed time. God has an appointed time. So he don't want us getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. He don't want us getting frustrated. I'm going to give four points, and showing us what to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened. Now,
mm-hmm.
God gives us all something. He gives us all a promise. You know,
yeah.
He gives us all a promise. The word of God is full of promises. And we got to know what to do after what God has promised us hasn't happened. We need to know what to do. Joseph had to wait. He got a promise from God in a vision,
mm-hmm.
but it took 13 years for it to come to pass.
Yes.
God gave Joseph a vision that he was going to be elevated high, that he was going to occupy a high position, a high position. But after he told his parents and he told his brothers, they hated him.
Yes.
They hated him because of the vision that God had given them. They hated him because of the vision that God had showed him. They hated him
mm-hmm.
once he told them the vision. They thought about killing their brother. They threw mm-hmm. him into a pit, sold him over into slavery to the Ishmaelites. He was put in Potiphar's house to work as a servant. He got accused of a rape that he didn't commit by Potiphar's wife, got thrown into prison. I mean, but here's a man that got a vision from God.
Yes.
He was promised something from God. But
yes.
Just the opposite is happening. He's
mm-hmm.
going through purity tribulations and trials. And so we need to know what to do when God showed or told you hasn't happened. What to do? What to do when what God showed you or told you hasn't happened? Joseph did become second in command over all of Egypt. He was one of the most powerful men on earth. God had showed him that in a dream, in a vision.
Yeah.
He had communicated that to Joseph, but did it happen right away? No, it was 13 years later before the vision came to pass. A vision is also, it's a prophecy. It's God speaking to you with pictures. When God gives you a vision, a dream, he's speaking to you with pictures. You can call it speaking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
He's revealing to you something that he's going to do. But we need to know what to do when what God showed us or told us hasn't happened. That can be a very depressing and discouraging thing if you let it. So we need to know what to do. Number one, in Habakkuk, the scripture says that we need to keep it before our eyes. We need to write it down. We need to keep it before our eyes. We need to write it down. When God gives us a vision, when he shows us something or tells us something, we need to write it down so we can keep it before our eyes. This will keep you motivated. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk got a vision. Look what he did. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. He said, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that read it there. You see, God tells us to write the vision down. When he gives us a promise, when he gives us a dream, when he shows, gives us a word from his word, we need to write it down, make it plain, and keep it before our eyes. This will motivate us. Number two, we're talking about what to do when what God showed us or told us hasn't happened. Number one, we need to write the vision down. Number two, we need to stay firm in faith. We need to stay firm in faith. Don't give up on what God has shown you. You've got to stay firm in faith. That word firm means not to yield when pressed. Not to yield. Don't yield when pressed. Don't get bent out of shape. Don't get bent out of shape. We've got to continue to believe. We got to stay firm in faith. Don't get all bent out of shape. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, when things don't look like they're adding up to what God has shown you, when it don't seem like things are adding up to what God has promised you, what he has told you, what he has shown you in his word, in a vision, in a dream, through prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
When it's not adding up, the circumstances, the events in your life, when it's not adding up and it seems like it's not going to happen, you need to stay firm in faith.
Yes.
God hasn't changed his mind. I'm going to show you that in the word. God hasn't changed his mind about what he's promised you.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't changed his mind. He just has an appointed time. And I'll get to that. But right now we're talking about stay firm in faith. Look at Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Look what Habakkuk said. He says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. In other words, he said, I don't see any blossoms on the fig tree. He says, neither shall fruit be in the vine. He said, I don't see any fruit on the vine. He says, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. He says, I'm not getting any meat out of the fields.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing happening.
Mm-hmm.
He says, no meat. The flock, he says, look what he says. He says, no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. He said, I don't even have a herd in the stall. Things are not looking good at all. But look what he says in verse 18. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He said, yet I'm going to stand firm in faith, because I know God's going to deliver me. You know, salvation means deliverance, prosperity, health, wealth. He said, I'm going to stay firm in faith because I know God's going to give me salvation. He's going to prosper me. He's going to elevate me. He's going to come through for me. He's going to do exactly what he promised me. You see, Habakkuk, even though things look just the opposite of what God had promised him, he stood firm in faith.
Yes.
He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation.
Yes.
The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. Good God Almighty. He says, God's going to elevate me, and he's going to enable me to stay elevated. He's going to make my feet like hinds' feet. You know, those mountain goats, once they get up on top of the mountain, they have firm and sure feet. They have great balance, so they can stay up there and won't fall down the side of the mountain. But God says, I'm going to elevate you and enable you to stay elevated. You see? Mm-hmm. But we've got to stay what? Firm and safe. Don't be moved by what you see, only by what you believe, and that's the promise that God has made you. You got to stand firm and safe. When he tells you something, he's going to do it. No matter how opposite, no matter how things look and how he's going to do it. You just got to write the vision down, and number two, you got to stay firm in faith. He's going to do it. He is going to do it. Just don't get bent out of shape. You got to do like Habakkuk. He says, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Salvation means prosperity, health, wealth, deliverance. That's what that word salvation means. He said, I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. He always comes through for me. He hasn't lied to me yet. Never will. And so we got to remember that and stay firm in faith. Don't get bent out of shape. Don't get mad at God and start wagging your finger at God. Just stand firm in faith. Do like Joseph did. Do like Sarah did. God promised Sarah a child. It was 25 years later when Sarah gave birth to Isaac. She was 90 years old. When she got the promise, she was 75. It wasn't until 25 years later when the promise came to pass. God's going to do it for you. He's just going to do it for you in his time. Stay firm in faith. What to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened? Write the vision down. Number two, stay firm in faith. And number three, wait for God's appointed time to bring the promise to pass. Sarah had to wait what? 25 years.
25
Joseph had to wait what? 13 years. All the different things that were taking place, it looked like she was, Sarah had, man, it looked like it was impossible for her to have a baby at 90 years old. But all things are possible with God. She still had a baby at 90 years old. It doesn't matter, man. Don't go for that trick of the devil. He'll try to make you think that time is running out for you. Well, time is on your side. When God is on your side, he can give you all the time that you need. We don't have to be in a hurry. Don't you know that God can even extend life?
Yes.
What to do when what God showed you or told you hasn't happened? Write the vision down, number one. Number two, stay firm in faith. And number three, wait. Wait for God's appointed time to bring the promise to pass. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3. For the vision is yet for what? An appointed time. God has given Habakkuk a word, a vision, and he was telling Habakkuk, it's going to happen at what? At an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it seem like it's not going to happen, he says what? Wait for it, because it will surely come.
Okay.
It will not tarry. Though it seem like it's not going to happen, what God has showed you or told you, God says wait for the appointed time. It will surely come. Surely means it's going to happen. It's going to happen if we do what God, if we respond the way God tells us to respond. We're talking about what to do when what God showed or told us hasn't happened. You got to wait for his timing. The Bible tells us that the times and seasons are in his hand. The Bible tells us there's a time for everything under the sun.
Yes.
There's a proper time. A proper time. Moedah. Moedah is the Hebrew word for appointed time. Moedah.
Moedah.
That's the proper time. It also means the fixed time, the fixed time. God has a certain time that he has fixed that is going to take place in your life, the fixed time. He has a fixed or a proper time or a proper season. He has a specific time. Moadah means specific time. That's the Hebrew word for appointed time. Moadah, it means a specific time. It means the right time. The right time. When God sets a time, it's the right time. We don't have to force anything. That's how Abraham and Sarah, that's how Abraham had the Ishmael. They tried to, he had a baby with the handmaid. But that wasn't the promised child from God. You see? God had an appointed time for Isaac to be born. God has the right time, the fixed time, the appointed time, the specific time that he's going to bring the promise, the vision, to pass. And my final point, we're talking about what to do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened. My final point is we need to look for and say, God's giving me bigger or better or both, or he's going to give it to me at a later time.
Good.
That's what we need to say. It's not that God has said no. No. When you don't get what you're expecting, don't get upset. You need to just say, look for and say, God's giving me bigger or better or both, or he's going to give it to me at a later time.
Yes.
It can even seem like what God promised you has been given to someone else. That doesn't mean anything. You need to look for and say, God's giving me bigger or better or both, or he's going to give me what they think they have forever. He's going to give it to me, what he promised me, at a later time.
Yes.
The house that I'm in right now, other people used to own this house. Yeah, that's right. Other people used to own the house that we own now. Other people used to own this house.
Yes.
If God told me he was going to give me a house, if he would have showed me the picture of this house, I would have said, well, someone's living in that house. But no, God gave it to me, at a later time.
Amen.
Even though it looks like someone else might have what God has promised you, God will give you something bigger or better.
All right. Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah.
Or he'll give it to you at a later time.
Yeah.
How can I say that? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:20 that all the promises in God are what? Yes and amen. Good God Almighty.
Yes.
They're yes and amen. That means that he hasn't changed his mind about what he's promised you. They are what? Yes and amen, his promises in him. Oh, yes and amen. That's first. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise?
Where?
I mean, excuse me. 2 Corinthians. I'm looking at it first. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Look at it. Listen to the truth. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. So God is still going to do what he promised you. That's if you respond right, if you stay in faith. You've got to stay in faith. When you say, when it looks like what he told you is not going to happen, when you say, when you look for, and when you say, God's giving me bigger or better or both or at a later time, when you do that, that's releasing the power of God that is within you. It don't come to pass because you're in what? You're in faith. Because you know that God has already told you that all his promises in him are what? And amen. Amen means surely he's going to do it. As he said, he's going to do it. Yes and amen. He's going to do it for you. So when things look delayed and look like they're not going to happen, you look for it and say, hey, well, that just means God is what? Giving me something bigger or better, or both.
Or both.
Or he's giving it to me when? At a later time. But he's going to do it. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. See, God is able to do it even more than what we're expecting. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we what? Ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You see, he's able to do bigger than, or better than what we've been expecting for. So when it looks like that's what you do when what God showed or told you hasn't happened, you need to look at it this way. Well, God either is telling me he's going to do it later, or he's going to do something what? Bigger or better or even both, bigger and better.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's faith. When you look at it that way and you speak that way, that's faith. And that's going to release the power that's in you. It's going to release the power in you so that you can receive all that God has promised you. That's how you're to respond. That's what you're to do when what God showed you or told you hasn't happened. You need to just write the vision down, keep it before your eyes. You need to stay firm in faith like Habakkuk did. You need to wait for God's appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
And number four, you need to look for and say, hey, it looks like it's held up. It looks like it's not going to happen. You need to do this. You need to look for, keep looking for what he promised, and you need to say, God's given me then, if I don't get exactly what he promised me, he's given me something what? Bigger
and better.
Or better or both. Or he's given me what he promised me at a later time. Either way, you win when you stay firm in faith. And that's the word God gave me to give, Apostle.
Amen. Amen. A powerful word. A powerful word. To God be the glory. Nobody but God.
Glory Pastor to God.
Irvin? Pastor Irvin?
Yeah, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, and you?
Good.
Man, I just got through feasting off that word of Habakkuk. I just got through feasting off that. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I needed to hear that. I was getting worn a little thin there myself, man. I was just going, you know, God, I'm waiting for these promises, and I've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and then it's starting to wear a little thin. So, but, you know, the word of God is always good, you know. I mean, it builds us back up and sets us apart again from the world.
Amen.
You know, and once again, you know, the follow on your heels there, Apostle. The other day I was sitting there meditating on some things, and, you know, we're watching the way the world is going.
Yeah.
And we can see the darkness, like, every day. It's just more and more. Even just reading an article today in the paper where the military is discouraging the Christian faith. And I think it's One World Today or something like that in the news that said something about that a lot of the Christians are starting to leave the military.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them that are not wanting to, Christians are not wanting to join the military because of the faith and the chaplains that are being disciplined over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, we got to pray for this nation. We got to pray for our armed forces because if the Christian military, if the people that have walked away, that leaves nothing but darkness, you know.
Yeah.
And that is not a good thing.
No.
And so we need to keep in prayer over our military forces, you know, because even the we're watching this event going on over in the Middle East, and our troops and our Navy is being drawn into the into the battles and all the modern day weaponry and everything else we got. You know, it won't take much to annihilate an army. And you know, we know biblically in scripture how God over time and time and time again that He destroyed military forces that turned from the nations that had turned their back on God.
Yes.
You know, and He destroyed kings and whole nations. He allowed them to run because they turned their back on God. Which brings me to my point tonight is that when we sit there and look at the world, we take our eyes off of God. We take our eyes off the vision of what God has put into our lives. You know, we see even today there's the churches and there's the falling away. It's because the promises that is going out into the off from the pulpits and that of prosperity. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm all for prosperity, you know, but it needs to start in your heart and it needs to start in your spirit. And then and from there, God says, as your spirit prospers, so shall you.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
You know, so, and like I said, you know, God does have plans for each and every one of us, but we sit there and listen. We listen on the news, and especially those who evangelize, and we hear them people talk, and they say, well, there is such a God. Why does He allow this, and why does He allow that? And that's a good argument.
Yeah.
But, you know, we also know that God created man in His own image.
Yeah.
Yes.
And He created the world. He created everything to establish that so we could have a relationship, a loving and working relationship with man and Himself.
Yes.
And we also know that when Adam fell into temptation, that he gave up those rights that God had given on
Adam. That's right.
He gave up all those rights.
That's right.
And so there the evil had come into the world.
That's
you know,
right.
But also God, when He sat there and He gave Adam all the power and everything
right.
else was established.
Yes.
You know, God has never, ever rescinded that from man. He has never, ever taken that away. He has given it freely to every man, every man and woman that is born that freely who received Christ. It's restored in a biblical fashion, in a supernatural fashion. But also, what Adam had lost, Satan had gained. And there's the world, they look at the world and they see all this turmoil and they see all the anger and they see all the bitterness because that's what Satan has. He has taken what God, for the glory of God, he's turned it against the world, he's turned it against man, he's turned it against God's own creation.
Mm-hmm.
We have many times trying to evangelize to people and try to explain things to them and tell them, you know, that God doesn't do these things. You know, the power that was given unto Satan, and also the power that God has given each and every man, like I said, He has not rescinded that gift that He has given to anyone. It's who you choose to serve. It's who you follow. It's what will bring in the chaos. It will bring in the glory. If you're following Satan and you're following his ways, you're following the ways of the world, you're following your own mindset as a man, and you're following that, and you refuse to reject the word of God, you're walking in that turmoil. You're walking in that hatred. You're walking in that immoral atmosphere, you're walking in unforgiveness, you're walking in everything that Satan has taken and turned. But when Jesus came, store everything. Hello?
Yes. Hello.
Okay. I'm sorry. Jesus came to restore. He gave back to each every man that venue that what God had originally intended for Adam. He has given it back to us. We take for granted the things in the world. We take for granted everything that is going on and about the world. We take for granted everything else. And we don't really sometimes take the concept and listening to the real word of God and try to understand. A lot of the people in the world who sit there, like I said, they're following after the ways of the world. They're following after their own mindset. They're wondering, how can I change this? How can I change this? How can I make it better? How can I do these things? How can I get this? And they keep working it, and they keep working it. And they're working away and against God and his way because of their own natural mindset. Jesus has told us many times over and over, not of this world, but of the Spirit of God. Not of this world, but the Spirit of God. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, you have that relationship with God, that we can walk in that supernatural spirit, and we have that very same gift that God had given on to Adam before he lost it, because Jesus had restored it onto us. Well, we can walk in that biblical, we can walk here in the natural, but we can receive everything in the supernatural. Just as you said, Apostle, you know, God has given us all this amen and yes and amen.
Amen.
You know, anything we ask for.
Amen.
You know, he says at an appointed time. Well, if our spirit is right, if our walk is right, if our and everything that we're doing is right, that appointed time sometimes it isn't delayed. It's only when we step out of the supernatural into the natural and look at the world and say, why isn't it here? Because it is there. If you look again from the supernatural point of view and in your supernatural eyesight, you can see that vision, you can see it, and you can walk in it, and you can claim it, and it's yours.
Yes. Amen.
It is yours. It's when we step away, and we step back, and we start looking at it from a world point of view, and we don't see that great big house. We don't see that new car. We don't see that job. We don't see that whatever that vision it is that you have, because we're looking at it in the natural and we're not looking at it back into the supernatural, that which is a gift that God has given unto us.
Yes, that's right.
We have to sit there and we're the people because it's the choice that we make. And we are all man is fallible. You know, we all make mistakes. We all trip. That's why we have grace. You know, it's not just that, you know, we screw up and get mad at somebody or whatever else that happens in our lives. You know, a lot of things come about. Even we get mad at God, you know, because we step out of the supernatural into the natural.
That's it.
And then when we step into the natural, we step into the world of Satan. Think about that.
Yeah, that's right.
When you walk out of the supernatural with God and what Jesus had restored back onto each and every one of us, back into the world, we're walking back into Satan's will. We're walking back into that, what is Satan has claimed he has right now here on earth until Jesus returns. And yet many people are blind to the fact. They don't see and they don't understand because with their own natural mindset, you know, and rejecting the word of God and rejecting, you know, Jesus preached love. He preached tolerance. He preached forgiveness. He preached all these things that man is looking for. But why are they walking in the opposite direction, trying to build peace, trying to build whatever it is they're trying to build? And yet they're discouraging and the hatred and everything else that they're falling into. They're falling into the lies. They're falling into the rejections. They're falling into everything else. And yet they're trying to change it. But if we sit there and turn back and listen to the word of God. We turn back to Christ. We turn this nation around. We walk back into the glory of God. We can have that which is the supernatural back here into the natural, which really it truly belongs to us in the beginning. We can have everything that we desire. God says so. But it's as long as we continue to walk in the supernatural, we can see that. And at a point in time, it's the same thing as when you get up in the morning, you put your pants on, your shoes, socks, and you walk out the door, you know you made progress. You get in your car and you drive down the road, you make progress. You get to the destination where you're at, then you make progress. It's the same way in your what your vision that you see. When you get up and you sit there and put it in your mind, that you see that vision and you walk to that vision in the supernatural, it will come to you in the natural.
Yes.
But you need to be able to grow, to sit there and, like you said, have faith and believe and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right? Well, if it takes some people, it takes them an hour to walk a mile. Right? Some people, it takes them 3 hours to walk a mile. Some people, it only takes them 20 minutes to walk a mile.
Yes.
But it's the endurance. It's what they do in order to get to that point, whether it's 20 minutes, an hour, or 3 hours, or it takes you a day.
Yes.
It works the same way in the spirit realm. As your spirit prospers, as it prospers, and I'm talking about as it strengthens. As your spirit strengthens and you continue to walk in faith, and your faith grows stronger and stronger and stronger, those visions, those opportunities, all that stuff that you begin to see it, and you begin to see it in the natural, but you've been working at and seeing in the supernatural.
That's right. Amen.
But if you sit there and turn and stop and you start looking at it in the natural eye of man, you never see it. Back, you lose sight of it. You will walk away from it. You will start to build it on your own, and God even sits there and says, why are you building this in vain? I've already got it for you.
Amen.
Why are you building this in vain? It's over here. I have it for you. All you had to do was continue to walk with me. All you had to do was continue to believe. All you had to do was keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on me. Keep your eye, keep your vision, keep your hopes, keep your life, keep your dream, keep everything on me.
Amen.
You know, even, you know, I've been struggling myself because, you know, what you just preached a little bit ago, because not that I was losing faith, but I was struggling with the fact because I started looking at things in the natural and not seeing what it is that God has already shown me.
Amen.
And I began to get weary, and I began to get angry, and I was getting to sitting there saying, hey, you know, I'm beginning to doubt. See, that's what Satan does to us.
That's what he does.
When we open up that door and we step out of the supernatural and you step back into the world, we open up that door for doubt.
Yeah.
We open up that door for lies. We open up that door for trickery, deceit. We open up that door for anger, for bitterness. And we open up that door for everything that Satan has right now here on earth. And you can see it as it continues to grow, and it has, and the people who are continuing to fall into it. And they continue to reject God. They continue to reject God's word. And they continue to sit there and try to find a way they better their lives. They can better how it is. They can strengthen this. How they can make this. How they can work for peace. How can they have peace? But Jesus showed us, and he told us how we do it.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
All we have to do is turn back to him.
Yes.
All we have to do is turn back to him.
Mama.
I've watched I've been watching the news and listening to all this stuff, you know, and once again, like I said, this nation is in dire need of prayer.
Yeah.
I have a friend of mine who just from in Africa and Kenya, and popped over there, and she just wrote, and she said, hey, says they're arresting the Christians in Kenya.
Yes.
They're arresting them. And you know, these times and troubles that are coming against us, we need to be able to sit there and gather that strength that we need.
Yes.
We need to come together in prayer for one another.
Yes.
You know, and stop thinking about ourselves.
Yes.
You know, there may be a reason. There may be a reason why a lot of things that we've been looking at and hoping for, in the visions that we've been hoping for, you know, God has something greater and more important for each and every one of us who believe in Christ. You know, like I said, why are we working this in vain if we work in what God has us to do? There's no effort in our part, because all we have to do is be a vessel, and God will use us.
You'll use us.
I've been in places where I've been up 18 hours a day and not even break a sweat, not even be tired, because the Holy Spirit be working on me and using me and directing my path and walking. And I would spend weeks at a time, 15, 18 hours a day, and not be tired. Because I was in God's rest. You stop and figure, Adam, he tended the field. He counted the heads of all and named all the animals. He had time on his hand, effortlessly. Think about it. Think about it. Effortlessly. He could sit there and name all the animals, all the creatures. You know, how long would it take you to sit there and try to name all the animals?
Yes.
He did it effortlessly. He tended the field, the garden. You know, the Garden of Eden wasn't just a little plow patch, you know, somewhere. It was huge.
Yes.
I'm not sure exactly how big it was, but I know anybody really know how big the Garden of Eden was?
It was the entire, it was over there in the northeast part of Ethiopia.
That's right. So could you imagine tending that garden in a day? You know what I'm saying? He did the efforts, because time had no, there was nothing with time, because he was in Christ, because God created him. He put his own spirit into Adam.
Yes.
He spread life into Adam, and he gave him the same glory and the same power that God had in heaven.
Yes.
So time was no issue. And then even those who, you know, when we come to know Christ for the first time, we get that giddy feeling, we get that happy, that good, ooh, that feels so good. Hey, what is this? I haven't felt this. And the Holy Spirit coming all over you. And you're going, this is good. I like this. You know, we don't realize the power, and we don't realize what God has given each and every one of us. Some who stay faithful and those who continue to walk. You know, they endure and with the power, and like I said, as your spirit prospers, so shall you, and you prosper in everything that is in Christ. And God, more and more, greater and greater glory, and more power into you. It's not that he doesn't give you it in the first place. He allows you to work it more diligently and better, because you have been able to be approved by God, that you are able to use that, what God has given you in for his glory and not for your own. You know, he gave us all the same measure of faith. He gave us all the same measure. He gave us all the same measure of faith. He gave us all the same measure of everything that we go through, every man. But it's what is in your spirit as it prospers, as you beat down them walls, as you sit there and you tear apart all that what is evil that has been in your life, you tear apart all that is of the worldly things, and you start to strengthen yourself in Christ and prosper into the Spirit of God, then that glory which is in you will continue to grow.
Yes.
Are you that fig tree that God said there, that Jesus looked at and called it to die? Are you that fig tree that's been watered? Is producing fruit.
My God.
You see, each and every one of us, if we can continue to follow Christ and stop looking at the world and stop looking at the things in the natural eye and continue to look at things in the spiritual eye, we prosper. We will gain everything that it is that God had promised us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers, you know, about what I have for you tonight, you know, I just, like I said, I'd like to be able to pray for this nation because we're seeing all the stuff that is going on and for the people who have been having doubts right now in their lives that have been that the enemy has been attacking them. You know, God says that when you're coming under attack, He says we're supposed to praise God because that means He has something for us. And Satan knows that. And if Satan gets you to take your eye off of what God's promised you, because once you sit there and take your eye off of it, you literally give that to Satan. Think about that. Once you take your eye off of what it is that God has given you, that you've had, and you know that, you know, whenever you hear it all the time, say, hey, you know, it's just one more step. Hey, God's got something for you. Man, it's coming. You know, that's when we start getting weary. We get wondering, where is it? But if we stay in faith, we see it.
That's it.
We don't even realize that we got it. We're walking in it.
Amen.
We don't even realize that we're walking in that garden. We're walking in that glory. We're walking in the very thing that we've asked God for. Because if we're doing it in the spirit.
Yes.
We don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody around us in the natural, they see it. They see it prospering in our lives.
Yes.
We don't see it. It's only when we take our eye off of what it is that we're looking for and start looking for it into the natural, it's when we lose it. And when we do that, we give it to Satan.
We need
to stop and be able to sit there and tell Satan that he has to go back to hell. He has to go back to where it is he came from, because he cannot have what my Father has given unto me. He cannot have what Jesus restored into my life.
Right. Amen.
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 So, Father, right now, Lord, I ask for anybody right now who's grown weary, Lord, that we would strengthen them, Lord. Anyone who is listening to this message, Lord, that they would understand what it is that they're going through, and the attacks that is coming upon them, that they should be rejoiced and be glad in it, because you said those days are better. Those days are coming, and that they begin to see those promises that you have given each and every one of us. Father, I ask right now that we rebuke right now Satan and the attacks of Satan that is coming upon any man or any woman that is in Christ right now. We rebuke it right now. And we break that curse right now off them. Right now, we break that that spirit of doubt, we break that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, to set them free, that they begin to walk back into the spirit of Christ, and they begin to sit and see once again the promises and the glory, Lord, and as they prosper in their spirit, Lord, as they continue to prosper in their spirit, that you will strengthen them, Lord, daily, Lord. And we thank you, Father. Father, for any healing right now, and anybody that's listening, that has an ailment, that is sick, we right now, we speak healing into their lives. We speak healing right now, that a perfect healing that only you can do, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for the healing, your healing hand, the hunt, the whole rock. Thank you, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. And we pray for this nation, Lord, that it will come to awakening right now, Lord, and those who have fallen away that will realize and they will see once again that is truly your riches and glory, Lord. Those who are seeking for peace, Lord, that they're not finding it in the world, Lord, but they can only find it in you, in your heart. Father, I ask right now that you call out their names, and it would come back, it would turn back to you. And for restoration, Lord, and to restore unto them, Lord, your favor. Father, I just ask right now that you just touch each and every one. Lord, that's listening to my voice, Lord, and on this radio broadcast, Lord, and those who are around the world, Lord, that are in need right now. Whatever their need is, Lord, that you would just touch them, Lord. Just touch them. Let them know, Father, that you're there. That you're there. You're just there, Lord. You're there to hold them. And just give them that moment, Lord, just that one moment of peace, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in each and everyone's life, Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Well, the Lord he put us on another level. He's told us what to do out of Habakkuk. He told us what to do and what the pastor has said. We walk this by faith and not by sight. Speak those things, be not as though they were. We got to do what God say do. So tonight, we just say we praise him, we love him, we adore him, and we lift up his name above every name.
Yeah.
Because the name of Yeshua HaMashiach and the name of Jesus, one name that's above everything. And I want to say thank you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
See you next week.
All right.
See you next week. God bless you. God bless.
All right.